We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 21. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Luke 8. And if you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, infallible, and inspired word. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for these words. As we draw our attention to your word this morning, Holy Spirit, we ask that you open up our hearts, open up our eyes and our ears, and may we hear from you today, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. So we live in a world full of noise, whether it's our notifications going off or conversations that we hear, the news, even podcasts. We are constantly hearing. I came across an interesting research article because I know a doctor and I didn't think the doctor's hearing was that bad, but he put on hearing aids. So I inquired, I asked him about his hearing aids. And he said that there is a relationship between hearing loss and your brain function. So what he said was, and what the research indicates is, if you lose your hearing and as you lose your hearing, it rewires your brain. I'm simplifying the facts, but it rewires your brain so that it influences and it shapes how you think. It reshapes how you process information. And it also reshapes how you understand reality. So hearing loss is not just affecting your ear. It affects your brain and how you think. What's interesting today is today's text is about hearing spiritually. And very similarly, how we hear affects our hearts, how we live, and it reshapes our direction as well. That's why Jesus says in verse 18, I don't know if you picked it up, take care on how you hear. And what's also interesting is hearing loss, usually it's subtle. It happens over time. And the change is gradual. So you don't even know that you're losing your hearing, and you don't know what's happening with your brain and how everything's being rewired. And our heart is the same way. It's how we hear from God or not. It changes gradually, and it's subtle, and over time it changes our heart, and we don't even know that it's happening until it's too late. So with that in mind, let's look at our text today. And in chapter 8, we see that wherever Jesus goes, there's a large crowd that's following him now. And he begins talking about a parable. Now, this is a parable that a lot of us may be familiar with, but imagine that you're hearing it for the first time. This is not Jesus preaching a sermon, and then this is the closing illustration. He just starts talking about this parable. And this is what he says. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. So here he is. He's talking about a sower, and he's talking about how seeds, after they're being scattered, depending on what kind of soil it lands on, the product, the end result is different. So when you listen to this, it's about a sower, and it's about seed, and it's about soil. That's really what the parable is about. And depending on where it lands, so the good soil, you know, yielding a crop 100 times more than was sown. In the time of Jesus, if you were able to produce 10 times more, that was considered a great harvest. So this is 10 times more than a great harvest is how you could, the end result can be, but it also, you could produce nothing depending on where the seed lands. A very confusing parable if you don't understand the context. So this is what Jesus says to the crowd. And then he says this, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. You're going to see the thread of hearing throughout today's passage. There are three different sections, and when you look at them, they may look like they're not related, because first is a parable, then the second one is the light on a lampstand, and then the third one is about Jesus and his mother and brothers. So it seems like they're disjointed, but if you read through it, you'll see that word hear throughout all three sections. So that's the common thread. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So he's saying, listen. May that parable, may you have heard that parable, which is about sowing seeds. So the disciples are confused. Many people were confused who heard this. So his disciples asked him, what did the parable mean? And this is what Jesus says. He says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. What is that all about? Well, it's about the fact that hearing, when you're hearing God's word, it requires spiritual understanding. So for us to understand God's word, we need the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. That's why just reading the Bible alone without the help of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be able to truly understand God. Amen? That's why when we read, we need to pray. We need to ask God, open up my eyes, open up my heart, help me understand what I'm reading. Which is also why it's not shocking to hear that you have seminary theologians, professors who know the Bible inside and out, but they don't know Jesus. Why? Because they're approaching the Bible academically. They're approaching the Bible as just words, not the Word of God. And so we need spiritual understanding. So if you're reading a passage and you're having a hard time understanding, or if you're disagreeing like we talked about last week, I want you to just underline those texts and go back at it and ask God and ask the Holy Spirit, help me understand this text. Help me understand these truths that are offending me, God. And He will show you. Amen? So, since the disciples asked, Jesus explains the parable. And to understand the parable, you have to understand this one key fact, which is, what does the seed represent? The seed is the Word of God. That's what we need to understand. The seed is the Word of God. Now, with that key statement, we can look at the parable and understand what the parable is about. So, as it goes through the four different soils, we'll look at how it impacts and how we can relate to certain soil. So the first one is the hard path. And what does that represent? Hardened hearts. Those along the paths are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Their hearts are so hardened, it's like soil that's just landed on the road. I mean, seeds that landed on the road. So the seed can't grow. But notice this. Not only does the seed just land, but it says here that the devil, the enemy of our souls, come and take away the word from the hearts. Why? Because the devil knows the power of God's word and how it can change. So it's the devil's mission for people to not believe and not be saved. And the only way that can work is by taking away the word. So if the hearts are hardened and God's word can't penetrate the heart, then it's easily dismissed. So in this scenario, there's no response to the word because the word hasn't really landed in the heart. So there's no reflection. There's no conviction that takes place because the enemy takes it away. So that's the first soil. It's the hardened path representing hardened hearts. The second one are the rocky grounds. It's representing a shallow heart. So those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. So they receive the word, and they receive it with joy. So they get excited about the good news. But it says here, they have no root. They have no way of receiving water. It's like for those of you who landscape or put grass seed down, you have to put topsoil on first. And there's a section in my backyard where grass is always dying. And silly me, I just thought all you have to do is just put grass seed down and water it and grass will come up. And actually it does when you do that. But if you don't put topsoil down, the root system doesn't get to penetrate down. So as soon as the dry season hits, that area that I just watered and put grass seed down on, it turns brown. And every year, I do the same thing. And every year, it turns brown. And you would think a pastor, after preaching this sermon, will go back and get topsoil and do it right. But I'm a lazy pastor, too. So, but I'll do it this time. But that's the message, is if you don't have roots, when the condition is perfect, it looks good. The grass looks perfect. But as soon as the condition changes, those with deep roots continue to remain green. But the other parts that don't have deep roots, it dies out. And this is the same way. So if you have shallow hearts and you don't have a root system, so if you're not growing deep, then when the condition of your life changes, there's no joy and you fall away. It says here, they believe for a while, but in the time of testing, that time of testing, what is that? It could be getting diagnosed with a health condition that you didn't want to hear. It could be a relationship falling apart. It could be family issues. You know, we have a lot of children here, so those parents, you know, your children, you want the best, but a lot of times they don't respond the way you want them to. And if your root system is not planted deep next to living water, like in Psalm 1, and you're not receiving from God, your whole world's going to fall apart. Or if your job is the most important thing in the world, and you lose your job, and your whole world falls apart. When you let your circumstance dictate how you react and how you react to God and how you relate to God, then you don't have deep roots. You don't have the Holy Spirit working in you, is how Charles Spurgeon said it. He likens water to the Spirit. And he says, he gives some examples of those who don't have deep roots are like those who have doctrine without feeling, experience without humiliation, practice without heart love, just doing things without love, faith without repentance, confidence without reservation, action without spirituality, zeal without communion with God. What do all these have in common? They look good on the outside, but inside is complete emptiness. And if that's you, what's going to happen is when you're during the time of testing, what's inside is going to manifest, which is nothing, which is emptiness. If you ever see people of true faith, no matter what's going on in their life, their faith is not shaken. How do you get there? You get there by having deep roots. Amen? Yeah, so you need that. You can't do that when you have a shallow heart, rocky soil. The third are those among thorns that are standing. So, you know, you have soil, you're growing, but you have other things. So you have a crowded heart. So you have things in your heart that are competing with God. And Jesus gives three examples here. He says those who are choked by life's worries. Worries. You're worrying about how things are going to turn out or not turn out. If you're always worrying, then that's competing with God. Riches. And this is not just about just money. But if money is something that you're thinking about all the time, like how am I going to pay bills, or if I only had a bigger house, or if I only had a bigger church building, you know, if all that you're talking about is money, then that's what's in your heart. And we're at church, we're not exempt either. I've been to more church meetings where all we talk about is money, and we don't really talk about spiritual or how people are doing, how their soul is, because we treat church like a business, and we shouldn't be. It's not about what we have or don't have. It's about who we have and who we serve. But if we don't do that, then we're no different. You know, we have all these other things that are growing, and our lives get crowded. Our heart is crowded with stuff and pleasures. You know, we always want comfort. It's related to riches. Why do we want riches? We want riches so that we could live a comfortable life. But when you really read through the Bible, Jesus never promises you're going to live a comfortable life here on earth. As a matter of fact, if you look at his life, he did not live a comfortable life. So the Bible never promises you, if you believe in Jesus, your life will be easy. You'll be comforted, like comfort in the terms of you can have whatever you want. You'll be air-conditioned all the time. That's not what God promises. That's not what the Bible promises. And yet, because we want our lives to be easy, that's what we go after. Sometimes we want a better job to make more money so that we can live in a bigger house and a better house. And if that's all what it is, then our heart is competing with God. And what's so bad about that? Well, it says here, if that's what's going on in your heart, then you don't mature. So spiritually, you're not maturing. You may be producing fruit, but the fruit is not maturing, so it's no good. It's useless. So if you examine your life, your spiritual life, and if you feel like you've been in the same place year after year after year, you're not growing in the Lord, you're not growing spiritually, then maybe your soil is like this one, where it's crowded with other things. Other things in your heart is competing. So you have a divided heart. That's not all for God. And of course, lastly, the fourth soil is the good soil. And this is all what we want, right? We all want to be the good soil. The Word of God, it grows. But look how it grows. It grows because you have a good heart, noble and good heart, it says, who hear the word. So you hear the word. That means you're paying attention, you're listening. You retain it. You hold fast. And then by persevering, you produce a crop. You hear, you retain, and you produce. You hear, you retain, and produce. And there's long-suffering. There's patience there, right? Persevering. It's long-suffering. It's because fruit doesn't grow overnight. So this is something that we need to be working on. And if you are trying to look at progress day after day, sometimes you don't see any change, but you are growing fruit if you are on good soil. I don't know about you, but this is where I want to be. Right? How do we become this good soil? Do we have to pray more? Is that how you become good soil? Do we have to put more money in the offering plate? Do we have to go to all the worship services at Good Old Beacon? Now that we have two, you got to go to both services. Is that how we get good soil? You know, the answer is no. That's not how our soil, our heart becomes good. So how does our heart become receptive and faithful? Well, this is what Charles Spurgeon said. He says, well, in this case, the ground was good, not that it was good by nature. So it's not, you're not born with it. It's not good by nature. But it has been made good by grace. It's the grace of God that makes our soil, our heart, faithful and good. Amen? It's the grace of God. It's God. God is the one. God is the one who prepares our hearts. God is the one who makes our heart good to receive the Word of God. So everything is about God. It starts with God, and it ends with God, and it's God. So God has to work in our hearts. That's how we become the good soil. So don't try any harder. It's not about trying. It's not about doing. But it's about being. Being. And after this parable, Jesus talks about lighting a lamp. And like I said earlier, there is a connection with hearing. In verse 18, I highlighted this already. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Therefore, consider carefully how you hear. Because true hearing is about Jesus and God revealing and how he reveals over time. The parable was about how do you receive. These next verses is about how you display it. So once you receive, you have to display. It says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Right? That's the purpose of light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Consider carefully how you hear. And then he says this, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. So this is all about the more you hear, the more God reveals. The more you hear, the more God reveals. So if you don't understand what you're reading, if you don't understand what you're hearing, just keep reading, keep hearing. I didn't understand this concept. I don't understand. Why do I have to keep doing what I am doing? I don't get it. I remember when I was studying math, and I would try to solve math problems, and I didn't get it. And I remember my dad would say, just keep trying. It's like, you don't understand. I don't know how to do it. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. And then one day, I was solving problems that I didn't know how to solve. And the stuff that I didn't know came, they were easy later on, but I just kept working on the problems, you know? So if you're ever struggling with math, or if you wonder why do we study math in high school? Why do we study math? I don't know why we study math. But I think we study math to teach us how to solve problems. Because every problem, I think, is a math problem now. Amen? Every problem can be solved by math? Not really. But encourage your children. Math is important. Yeah, so same thing, like the Bible. You read and you don't get it. Or you read and you disagree. I talked about that last week. Underline the things that offend you. Underline the things that you disagree with. And keep studying that. And then what's going to happen is you're going to either realize you understood it incorrectly or God will change you. Because his word is the truth. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Yes. So we have to consider carefully how we listen. And if you don't have, it'll be taken away. So to me, that means just keep at it. Keep at it. And if you have a hard time reading by yourself, read with somebody else. There's power in reading scripture with somebody else. Whether if you're a couple, do it as a couple. If you belong to a small group, go to the small group and do it. Shameless plug, Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Hebrew, and I am learning more from others. We read scripture together. And we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11 this Wednesday. That's the Faith Hall of Fame. So even if you usually don't come out, you don't want to miss this one. Come on out this Wednesday. But read scripture together. And when you read, you pray as well. Amen? And then the story shifts, the narrative shifts again. After talking about the light and after talking about how God reveals, here it says, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to see you. He replied, and this is Jesus' words, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Now, like I said, this doesn't seem like it fits. But notice what Jesus says here. Those who hear. So there's that common thread. Those who hear. And what is he saying? My mother and brothers, basically my family, are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. True hearing, it leads to obedience. When you hear God and God works in your heart and you're like the good soil and you're producing, that leads to obeying. It's not just about hearing God's word and just agreeing and nodding, but it's about hearing God's word, nodding, and the Holy Spirit transforming your heart. And that leads to a life of obedience. That's what it means to hear God's word. That's what it means to have God work in your heart and to have God's word, the seed, grow in your faithful heart. Living a life of obedience. Don't confuse that with if you live a life of obedience, God will bless you. That's not what he's saying. Don't confuse this with if you obey God's word, you become his family. No, you are already his family, which is why you obey. So obedience is a mark of being part of Jesus' family. Isn't that good news? Yes. How do you know you belong? It's not because you say, I'm a believer, but are you living a life of obedience? That's a fruit. Let's look at the fruit. If you're really not living an obedient life, then you're not in good soil right now. You need to figure that out with God. Even if the command is hard, you know, like love your enemies. That's a hard command. How do you love your enemies? You can only love your enemies if you understand that Jesus loved you when you were once his enemy. Amen? Yeah. So how do we wrap this all up? You know, here are three applications from today's text. First is, examine your heart. Where are you today? You know, I talked about the four different heart conditions, the four different soils. I don't believe you're one and that's it. There are seasons where you move around. There are seasons where you are the good soil. But then there are seasons when you got stuff growing in you that's not of God. And then there are seasons where you have no root system. So there's joy, and then there's no joy like that. Where are you? And what do you need to do to get to the other side? And if you have a hardened heart where you just feel like I'm hearing, I'm listening, but I just don't get it, know this. That's not just a physical thing, but it's a spiritual warfare. Yeah. Like Jesus said, the devil is at work. The devil wants to take those seeds away from you. But if you're here, then you being here is already God working in your heart. So don't give up. If you need to be planted by streams of living water, like Psalm 1, if you're rocky grounds, then spend time with Jesus. And if your heart is crowded with other stuff, just name them and just identify them and just ask Jesus to take them away. So examine your heart. And as you do that, you know, remove what's choking God's word. What's competing in your heart? Is it anxiety and worries? Is it riches, pleasure? Whatever that is, just remove that in Jesus' name. And hold fast to the word daily. Daily, read God's word. Daily pray. So let's take care how we hear. I opened up the sermon with an illustration of how hearing loss leads to rewiring of the brain. I said how hearing loss reshapes the brain. It changes how we process information and also how we process reality. Spiritually speaking, hearing loss also reshapes our heart. We could hear God's word over and over again. But slowly, slowly, we become less responsive to God's word, less attentive to God's word, and then there's less change in our lives, even though we hear God's word over and over again. But know this, church, there is hope. Because Jesus is not just simply warning us, but he's also telling us that he restores. Our God is in the business of restoring, and he can restore our souls as well. He opens deaf ears. Amen? He opens blind eyes. He softens our hearts as well. So let's look to the cross, knowing that Jesus made a way when there is no way. And let me just ask you, are you ready to listen to God? And are you ready to be corrected by his word? Are you ready to be changed? Allow the Holy Spirit to transform you. And through that, are you ready to obey God's word? Because Jesus, he's the one who gives you a new heart so you could hear his word, so you could hold his word fast, you could retain it, and you can bear fruit with endurance. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are, Lord God, and we confess to you that there are times where we are on that right path. We are the good soil, but then there are times where we're not. Lord, and I want to pray that whenever we fall off, that we could look to you, we could turn to you, oh God. God, you are so good. And we thank you that your word never changes, Lord God. It's that same seed. The same seed landed on all different hearts. But it's how we respond that changes. So I pray that we could hear carefully, Lord God. Help us. Renew us. Restore us, we pray. Amen.